Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Welcome to WFHR and our morning show. We hope you're having a great day. Happy Democracy Day, everybody. It's Democracy Day. Get out there, be informed, and vote. Your polling stations are open right now. We're going to get in some information about that in just a second. Also get into some entertainment news a little bit later. People Magazine named their sexiest man alive. I don't want to brag, but I finished in the top 5,000 this year. Top 5,000. Still, there's a lot of people out there, Melissa.
There are a lot of people.
Father Time is undefeated. and some that ain't right stories, good stories of the day, all that coming up for you. We do want to, of course, touch on it being Democracy Day, Voting Day. Let's get into a little bit of that information for people. Mel, first all up. Right. Where can you vote? Well, we'll focus on the Wisconsin Rapids area where we're broadcasting from, of course. Mm-hmm. If you are unsure of where you need to vote, we do have a couple of places you can go. There is LWV.org. That is the League of Women Voters. You can go to their website. MyVote.org is a fantastic website. Yeah. Very simple, very easy to use. Even I can use it. It's so simple.
And the MyVote.wi.gov mm-hmm. is another place you can look to see where you vote.
Yeah, be sure to check those out. Also, elections.wi.gov is another place to see election information. And for voting here in Wisconsin Rapids, there are two places. Wards 1 through 10, Westside voters will be going to the Centralia Center at 223rd Avenue South. Mm-hmm. Wards 11 through 27, Eastside voters, you're going to be voting at the East Junior High School Fieldhouse, the former East Junior High School Fieldhouse at 311 Lincoln Street.
Yes.
Voting is open right now. Open until 8 tonight.
Yes.
Be sure to get out there, be informed, and get out the vote. And as far as our coverage, you've been hearing the commercials, and you kind of understand, if you're listening to us, what kind of station we are these days. We're going to be covering this back and forth all over the state. We've got the best in the business and the best people at this doing this. Got coverage throughout the day today. And our own Melissa Kay is going to be bringing you local coverage. I am so proud of you, Melissa. So proud to be doing this. I really appreciate what you're doing here. I know that even though with my class going on, I'm going to be checking in every hour on the hour at 8:46, 9:46, etc. Yep. Right?
Right. We start at 7:46, and that goes every hour up until the races are either, you know, beyond question of who's going to win or midnight, whatever comes first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but then there's commentary going on that whole time. Starting at 7, we'll have Kristen and Luke doing commentary, and then it's Mike and Dom, and then Pat Kreitlow, and I'm not sure who's at 10, but then Todd Albrecht is from 11 to 1 a.m., so...
AP News will also be joining us with updates. Looking forward to that. We got you covered here. This is the place to be. If you care about democracy, if you care about this election, listen to this station. Keep it right here. We're going to take you covered. And it's a hassle to change your stations. I mean, why even bother? Yeah, just keep it right here. You know, it's easier that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Melissa, do you want to go through who is what people are going to be seeing on their ballot here in Wisconsin Rapids?
Sure. We can go over that. We'll just run down quickly. Most people know that it's the governor, the seat for governor is running. We've got Tony Evers with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And then for the opponent is Tim Michaels with Roger Roth as the Lieutenant Governor. And then for Attorney General, we have incumbent Josh Call running against Eric Toney. Secretary of State is Doug LaFollette and Amy Lynn Loudenbeck, as well as Neil Harmon and Cheryl R. McFarland. For State Treasurer, we have Aaron Richardson, John S. Lieber, and Andrew Zulke. Mm-hmm. For United States Senator, Mandela Barnes and incumbent Ron Johnson. And we also have Representative in Congress District 3, Brad Paff and Derek Van Orden. Representative to the Assembly, District 72, Christy Greening, and Scott Krug, who is the incumbent. And then we also have District 71 is Shanklin and Soik. And then, of course, Wood County Sheriff is running unopposed. But in Portage County, we've got Sheriff Lucas against Noble. Mm-hmm. And then there are a couple other running unopposed mm-hmm. on there, and then the ballot initiative, which is, should Wisconsin legislature create a law allowing for direct ballot initiatives for statewide legislation? And that's a yes or no question.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Melissa. Nice job. Yeah. Appreciate that. And now you're in. Now you know that. Now hopefully you've done your homework already. If you haven't, get on it. Get to voting, or getting informed, and then get to voting. And you know, keep democracy alive. Keep it well. Let's show the rest of the world what we're made of here, everybody. Mm-hmm. Let's have some high numbers, big turnout for this voting, and get out there, everybody. Get out there.
Yes.
Be informed. Vote.
Let your voice be heard.
Democracy rings. Keep freedom ringing by doing this. Get out there, everybody.
Yep.
And keep it right here.
That's the only way we can keep it, is if we vote.
There's obviously very important because of those reasons. Every election is a vital and important election. And also, let's not forget the selfish thing that we all have in the back of our heads with this, the end of attack ads.
Yes.
Yes. Rejoice, people. We're here.
Today is
We've
the last
made it.
Day.
Yeah. Oh, happy day.
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, happy day.
I'm rather relieved about that because, man, they spent a lot of money in this state, James.
A lot of money. A lot of wasted money.
A lot of ridiculously wasted money.
It is overwhelming how few people are actually interested or are their opinions are changed from attack ads. It's overwhelming. The only people that win with attack ads are the people creating the ads.
Mm-hmm. Right. And a lot of people I know just they tune it out or they mute it or they shut it off or they skip it. You know, whatever you can do to just not have to be inundated with it.
All of it leads to disengagement. And all of that is very dangerous.
And apathy.
Yes.
None of it is good.
Yeah. I know so many people. I've known so many people over my lifetime that want to bury their head in the sand, that don't want to look into politics, care about politics, or think it's boring or whatever. And I get all of that. I grew up in a mm-hmm. political family. It got boring to me sometimes, too. It's important. It affects
it
literally every single one of us. There's no 6 degrees of separation here. Everything is connected. Everything ties to each other. It doesn't matter if we're talking about child care and you don't have a child. Well, you pay taxes, don't you? Everything
guess
is
what,
connected.
Guess what our future is? Children.
Right. Yes, exactly. everything's connected. So be informed. Get out there and vote. Help freedom ring.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get into a little bit of I wanted to touch on our schedule a little bit first, because after Mel and I are done hanging out with you this morning, we're going to kick off Morning Magazine for the week. Our first guest, Katie Wright, the events director at Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Nice.
We're going to talk with Katie about a couple of different things. That's always fun. And mm-hmm. in part two, one of our favorite shows every month, Let's Talk Real Estate with J.R. Seward and our friends at Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors.
Nice.
Looking forward
Always
to
good
it.
To talk with JR.
Our morning show hosts for the week. Of course, Mel and I getting to hang out today. Tomorrow, Terry John's going to be in with us.
All right.
On Thursday, we get the gang together. Seth and Mel will be in with us. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth and I will wrap up the week.
Excellent.
And we'll get to our Morning Magazine guests throughout the week tomorrow. But great people coming in all week long. We appreciate everybody and look forward to seeing all of you. And a big shout out to Pam Hilke and the fantastic scheduling she does.
Thank you, Pam.
A couple of entertainment stories. It is just good to be Captain America. Chris Evans has been named People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive for 2022.
Ooh, good on him.
Stephen Colbert made the announcement on The Late Show. Chris wasn't on the show because he was busy filming the Netflix movie Red One, but they did send a video of his co-star The Rock presenting him with the honor, and just very well done by Chris Evans. Quote, "My mom will be so happy. She's proud of everything I do. This is something she can really brag about."
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Mom.
He had a quote, "The whole thing is tough to be interviewed about. It feels like a weird form of humble bragging. Really, this will just be a point of bullying from friends. It's ripe for harassment." But at least he'll always have this. He gets
right?
it. Yeah, he gets it. He also, I love the perspective he has with this too. Quote, "It's something that as I become old and saggy, I can look back on and say, I remember that." And he finishes, "I'm lucky to be in the discussion in any capacity."
Aw.
He's one of those guys where if we find out tomorrow he's a big jerk, I would actually be a little surprised.
A little surprised. He comes off as pretty humble.
I'll admit, he's one of my favorite actors, and he's one of those guys that it's interesting with him. He's one of my favorite actors and one of those guys. I'll see a movie because he's in. But there have been times where I'm not sure about this role, but other people are in it, so I'll see it. And then I come out of the movie. Chris Evans was the best part of it. I will do this till the last day I'm on this earth. If there is a movie I'm going to recommend, there's a movie that he's in called Puncture. That is based on a true story, and it's all about the needles and the you know, all these pharmaceutical companies that create them and make them, and do they make them for profit or do they make them for safety, and what falls in the lines in that. It's based on the story of this woman who was a single mom, and she was an ER nurse. And like many ER nurses, she's trying to help somebody who was having seizures. The needle broke, and it punctured her. She couldn't. She contracted HIV from this.
Oh, man.
From no fault of her own, obviously.
No, she's trying to help someone.
She lived next door to a gentleman who was an inventor. And he invented a needle that cannot do this. It's completely disposable. It's a plastic thing. It's one-time use. Boom, and it's gone. You throw it out. And it literally cannot puncture anything other than what it's intended to puncture. But the pharmaceutical companies, the Johnson & Johnsons, these companies out there that create these needles and get them into every hospital in America, didn't like this. They
can't make as much money off it.
Not even close. Yeah. So they try to quash this and will refuse to use it. Chris Evans plays the attorney who took this to court and won the case. Again, it's based on a true story. It's such a great movie and such a well-done movie. And it's just an incredible, it's a very interesting story, too. It's just as good as his performances. Happy, happy, Chris. And hey, enjoy it, man, because I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming for that title. I'm sitting here at 4,937, and I'm looking up at the top, man.
Keep striving, James.
We gotta have goals.
Keep going, my friend.
We gotta have goals, right? We gotta go.
Right, yeah.
Back in 1978, Alice Cooper was the guest star in a now legendary episode of The Muppet Show. I can remember it like it was yesterday. And as surreal as it was for the audience to watch it, it was even more surreal for Alice to film it. He says, quote, "After a while, you start talking to the puppets, and they talk back. After 3 days, you're in your dressing room, and Kermit pops his head in and goes, 'Hey, had lunch yet?' And I go, 'No, you want to go out for lunch?' 'Yeah, okay.' And I'm talking to a puppet." And I'm
Oh, that's fun.
He says, he goes out, "We're rehearsing a song, and I go, 'Piggy, why don't you put your head on my shoulder while we do this? It'll be funny if you just kind of lean over.' And she goes, 'Oh, yeah, I'll do it.' And again, he realizes, 'Oh, yeah, I'm talking to a puppet. The puppeteer's right down there. I should be talking to the puppeteer.' But he's having this whole conversation with Miss Piggy.
With the puppet.
I feel like that would definitely happen to me. That would definitely happen to me.
Well, why wouldn't you do it that way? If the puppets are talking to you in the actual movie or show. Yeah. No, it makes sense. But it's also funny.
Just a couple of other notes here. There's a new Steven Spielberg movie out called The Fablemans. It is a semi-autobiographical account of his childhood, and apparently he got really emotional making it. Seth Rogen plays a family friend in the movie, and he says, quote, "He would cry a lot openly. We'd show up on set, and he would just see a certain piece of a wardrobe or a certain piece of set decoration or everyone coming together to recreate a certain thing. I saw him cry dozens of times throughout the filming of the movie, which was actually very beautiful and I think made everyone want to really honor what he was doing. You saw how much it meant to him and how meaningful, how truthful he was being." Gabriel LaBelle, who plays the Spielberg character, adds, quote, "Sometimes we'd all be doing a group hug afterward or at the end of a day. You could feel it a really personal project." The last time anybody talked about this with Steven Spielberg was during the Schindler's List filming. He is maybe going to go down as our greatest filmmaker. And there's a reason that he's so dang good at what he does and why he's still continuing to do this. George Lucas ain't making any more new movies. Francis Ford Coppola isn't working anymore. Martin Scorsese barely works anymore. So many of the greats that we grew up on, the legendary directors, are not really doing much anymore, or they're digging their feet in the ground and, "I refuse to work with Marvel. I refuse to do this," or whatever. Spielberg just keeps on doing his thing. He doesn't try to diss anybody, doesn't try to bring down the entertainment industry. He realizes that they're all connected. And he just, I will make the argument that Steven Spielberg is getting better as a director the longer he goes on. And that's incredible to think of the amount of Oscars he's won, The Color Purple, The Schindler's List, Indiana Jones movie. I mean, anything. You know, you can keep going down his list and say. And I genuinely think he's getting better at telling stories.
Well, look at what he's doing with this project by opening himself up. And I mean, this sounds like it's just raw and emotional and him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it should be said, he doesn't have to do this.
Right.
Like, Steven Spielberg could never work another day in his life. It'd be his legacy is set. His his bank account is set. Generational wealth is set. I mean, you're doing this because you love what you're doing. And there's a story you want to tell.
Yeah.
And he's arguably one of the, he's not unarguably one of the greatest storytellers of all time.
Nice.
New on TV tonight, midterm elections, your voice, your vote starts at 7 o'clock on ABC. The three-hour special, American Decides, Campaign 22 will be on CBS at 7. The three-hour special, Decision 2022, The Balance of Power, starting as well at 7 on NBC. If you're interested in a little break from politics, Say Hey, Willie Mays, 9 o'clock on HBO, a documentary about baseball legend Willie Mays. My dad believes the greatest baseball player of all time.
All right.
That's a nice break for people. And the fantastically funny Neil Brennan has a Netflix stand-up special, Blocks, on Netflix. So that's
nice.
A good one, too. I don't believe there's going to be a whole lot of late-night TV on tonight, mostly repeats. Otherwise, a lot of local coverage and statewide election coverage going on.
Yeah.
But if you're you're looking for coverage, we got you right here. You know?
We do indeed.
All day. Keep it right here. WFHR. Mm-hmm. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, have some more fun with some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. And Melissa, we got a new American hero we got to talk about.
Oh, boy.
All that coming up. Yeah, right here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Mel and James here with you at 9:24 on the clock. And here's something to throw out there, or at least to mess with people a little bit. You can't lift someone up if they're touching your chin, even if you're a lot larger than them.
Really?
The secret doesn't actually have anything to do with the chin. It's because when someone is touching your chin, they're creating more distance between the two of you. When you lift something up that's heavy, you need to hold it closer to your body to get leverage. So when someone's touching your chin, they're creating at least an arm's length of distance between you, which makes it nearly impossible for you to pick them up.
That wasn't how I was picturing it when you first said that. I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right,
like
right.
If you have your chin on their head, you can't pick them up.
Yeah.
But if they have their hand on your chin, that would make it a lot more difficult.
It's especially like a day like this, while we, it's important to be informed, to be accurate about things and stuff. We all need a little bit of a palate cleanser from time to time. This is it. This is one of them right here. The videos alone.
Oh, I bet.
And then especially if you got a significant other or something like that, trying this with them. I can't think of it's going to be a funny moment for you both. This is a good one. I would definitely try this with somebody. I would definitely do this one. This is a good one. I might try this.
It says it doesn't matter what size, even?
Yeah, does not matter. I think I might try to make Seth do this with me. I think.
And you should film that.
Yes, I should. Definitely.
Absolutely film that.
I feel like that's a Facebook post right there. I feel like that's I like this. It's a good one. Now, I like that a lot more than this one. We got a That Ain't Right story here, Mel.
Okay.
If you're tired of companies secretly shrinking the amount you're getting in your snack foods, this might be refreshing. Frito-Lay is openly hyping their shrinkage.
What?
Yesterday, Frito-Lay officially Frito-Lay officially unveiled its new Frito-Lay Minis, which are bite-sized versions of their snacks. They're packed in an easy-to-pour canister, which looks like a Pringles can. For now, there are 6 snack minis available: Doritos Nacho Cheese, Doritos Cool Ranch, Cheetos Cheddar, Cheetos Flamin' Hot, Sun Chips Harvest Cheddar, and Sun Chips Garden Salsa. The minis are now available at select stores nationwide after first popping up in several markets a couple weeks ago. Each one is about $2.79.
Well, that's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
It's probably the a better size to be eating as a snack.
Probably healthier, certainly. Mm-hmm. But I don't like that, Melissa. I like my snacks. I like them big. I like, I want bite-sized. I want... So it ain't right to me.
Then buy a full bag of chips, James.
I suppose. I guess that's what you can do.
I mean, for the price point, it's cheaper to buy the full bag of chips because what is that, $4 or $5? And that's how many times more than that small little amount?
Good thinking. Yeah. I honestly think that the only real problem I have with this, where was this 2 months ago or a month or two ago? It would have been perfect for Halloween. I like the idea of like handing these out as a Halloween treat.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that would be good.
Instead of especially like we had the great story the other day of the Milwaukee lady who was handing out potatoes.
Yes.
People want to do something different for, Halloween and stuff. Mm-hmm. Bag of chips is a little different. I don't know if I've ever...
It's a different thing to give out.
Yeah. I feel like that's, if anything, it'll be used for that, along with other things.
Yeah.
I was, certainly joking and everything. I don't know. There's a lot of people that they... Part of the reason they are cutting a lot of snacks out of their life is because they just, it's hard to eat just one chip. It's hard to just, if you got a smaller bag, it makes it a lot easier.
That is true. If you don't have the willpower to stop eating a full bag of chips, buy a smaller bag.
Yeah.
Don't buy them at all.
There's that too. I will say this because I'm a big cookies and chips eater. I snack a lot. I'm a forager. Throughout the day, I'm always snacking and everything. Mm-hmm. I have been trying to eat healthier snacks like graham crackers and things like that. I forgot all about this and I don't know why, but I recently rediscovered peanuts. Honey roasted peanuts are the ones I really like, but those aren't as healthy for you. But peanuts are amazing. Peanuts are great.
Are good.
If you can eat them. I feel for anybody who can't, of course, and I'm not making light of that.
But don't eat them if you're allergic, but...
There's granola. Granola's really good for you. There's a lot of good snacks out there that taste good, too.
Yeah.
And that's coming from the most picky eater in history,
Yes, there are a lot of good snacks that are healthy for you. Try some veggie sticks.
That's a good one. I know that cheese curds are another good one. That's if you can eat cheese,
right.
Of course. I keep thinking of things cheese that certainly part of the audience can't eat, so I'm horrible at this.
But hey, you can, James, and you're trying to change your habits, which is admirable and good, and it helps everybody out there who's struggling with that feel like, hey, I can too. We're all in this together.
Well said. We're going to listen to Melissa's news now. We'll come back and get into this story about this new American hero. And we got another Betty Wright story, good stories of the day. Plenty going on. Happy Democracy Day, everybody. Happy Election Day. Get out there and vote. We'll come back and have some more fun after Melissa's news right here at WFHR. Shady. Welcome back. Convict. Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Happy Democracy Day, everybody. Happy Election Day.
Happy Election Day.
We can all be superheroes today just by getting out there and voting and making democracy strong and helping freedom ring. We can't all be this guy, Melissa. On Saturday, Philadelphia became the first city to lose two major sports championships on the same day, the World Series and the MLS Cup. But there is still something to brag about for Philadelphians. Okay. Last month, a 31-year-old waiter in Philly named Alexander Tomsky challenged himself to eat 40 rotisserie chickens in 40 days. And he just completed the task Sunday afternoon in front of a huge crowd of people.
Wow.
On October 8th, he announced his plan by tweeting out a photo of himself with a whole chicken in front of him. At that point, he was already 11 chickens in and planned to do 30 more days, but eventually upped it to 40. Since then, he has taken down one full chicken a day without a ton of fanfare, but slowly kept gaining followers. And last we looked at it, he had over 37,000. Friday, he posted a flyer inviting people to come watch him eat his 40th bird. He didn't even give an address. He did not even give an address. He just said he'd be at, quote, that abandoned pier near Walmart, and dozens, if not hundreds of people showed up.
Whoa.
To add some drama, he held up a speaker playing Streets of Philadelphia for Bruce Springsteen. Jeez. For his last few bites. Ouch. Then he slowly walked through the crowd, held up his empty plate, and everyone went nuts. He went full absurdly with this. Apparently, there are still a lot of people that just don't get out a lot. You know,
apparently. That's a lot of chicken.
Yeah. The question is, why did he do this in the first place? And the answer is, just because. He did some interviews, including one with the New York Times, and basically he says he wanted to make people laugh while everything else in the world seems so crazy. So it's almost like performance art. One person who went to watch on Sunday summed it up like this, quote, "There's no broader meaning here. It's just a guy eating chicken." Alexander says he hasn't made any money off the stunt and didn't gain anything from it except followers on social media.
Someone, and maybe some weight.
Nice, yeah. Someone at Purdue Chicken even reached out at one point and offered him free chicken, but he said no. He said that that would take away from the whole point of this, which again is just to hopefully make people smile and laugh.
Nice.
He does admit he's relieved to be done. He wouldn't suggest it to anyone else. At first, he could take down a whole chicken in 20 minutes, but it got harder and harder. And so by the end, it was taking him up to 2 hours.
Whoa.
He also says it ravaged his body and he actually lost 16 pounds.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, we would not suggest this to anybody to do. I would never recommend something like this. But I actually admire a little bit of the doing it to a degree.
His effort to just be a different source of, hey, this is something maybe newsworthy that's not what you're hearing everywhere else now.
Yeah.
And an effort to make people smile. I just wonder if he got his rotisserie chickens from a different place or if he got them from the same place every time.
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Because different rotisserie chickens are different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's different. And I cannot imagine that this gentleman is ever going to touch chicken again.
Probably not that particular form of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because rotisserie chicken, it has a very specific flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And texture.
I got to say, to me, too, it's always been very filling. I don't know if I could do this if the fate of the world depended on it. I don't know if I could eat a whole rotisserie chicken. I don't know if I could.
In one sitting?
Yeah,
no.
I don't know.
I wouldn't want to.
No, no. But again, you know, it's fun that he tried to do this and everything.
Sure.
That's good.
Why not? It didn't hurt anybody.
Right. Yeah. That's, I think, is certainly a big part of this.
But we won't talk about the chickens.
No. We're not going to get into that part of it, though. I did want to get to this story real quick before we go to commercial break. I want to encourage you guys to do a little homework and read up on this. It comes to us from Wisconsin Public Radio. WPR.org is where you can find it. And a shout out to Sarah Lear for some great reporting. As Wisconsin prepares for midterm elections today, clerks are reminding voters that full results are likely to take time, especially with so many people expecting to vote absentee. Mm-hmm. Under Wisconsin law, clerks can't start processing and counting absentee ballots until polls open at 7 a.m. on election day. If volumes are large, the process can be lengthy, said Mary Moe, the president of the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Association. At this point, before the last governor elections, only 4,200,015 have been returned, and there are plenty more out there. In 38 municipalities across Wisconsin, absentee ballots are processed and counted at a central location instead of each polling place. That can lead to a larger batch of votes coming in later in the evening or early in the next morning. For example, in the 2022 election, former President Trump used the late-night surge in results to falsely claim the election had been stolen from him. In Milwaukee County, the state's most populous county, 8 out of 19 municipalities are using central absentee vote locations. That includes Wisconsin's biggest city, Milwaukee. Processing of absentee ballots can be time-consuming, especially in more populous jurisdictions like the city of Milwaukee. Hawley said, and among other steps, workers have to even verify information on the ballot certificate envelope, read the voter's name and address out loud at the poll book, and assign a voter number before opening the envelope and feeding the ballot into a tabulator.
Right.
The county switched to a new website format for reporting results in 2020. The site delineates central count locations in comparison, those that tally absentee ballots at each polling place. That includes a description of each process. This takes time, and it takes patience. And that's the best, that's okay. You know, not everything
has to be.
Yeah, not everything has to be a minute microwave meal, you know. It's important. And I also bring this stuff up for those out there who want instant results and that. Also, keep this all of this in mind, please, when you are going to vote today. Keep it in mind with all these people who are volunteering or people that are just there trying to help to get this process be smooth and get people in and out of these booths. Be good to these election workers. Treat them well. They're working their tails off for us to keep democracy alive. And oftentimes, again, doing it voluntarily.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's a process, and there's checks and balances that need to be done along the way to make sure that everything is correct.
And that's a good thing. Let's get rid of these cowards that want to like intimidate people of voting. Let's put a real nix on that. I'm not asking for our lawmakers to make laws about it. I'm asking for our society to give these people a dirty look, to give these people the attitude they deserve. That is not democracy. When you are doing these kind of things to American voters, you are being, to me, that is not terrorism, but it is awfully close to it.
Well, voter intimidation is against the law.
Right. It's
not acceptable.
When's the last election? We didn't see it. You know, I mean, it still continues to happen. Don't that's not okay. That can't be okay with us. It doesn't matter.
It's not okay.
I don't care who you're going to vote for. Just get out there and vote, and don't be one of these people. Don't be one of these knuckleheads out there.
Don't be a jerk.
And be nice to our treat our
poll workers. Do your civic duty and go on with your day.
Yeah, yeah. Most of us want to get in and out of there anyway. You know, I don't see the point of hanging around if you've already done your business.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break and take care of some business around here. When we come back, that ain't right story, good stories of the day. Plenty more coming up. It's Mel and James taking you through your morning here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings here at WFHR, locally grown radio, 9:48 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you. We've got a that ain't right story and get into some good stories of the day. Last Wednesday, a 36-year-old named Jeffrey Carl broke into a home near Dayton, Ohio, around 3 in the morning and started taking stuff. But he had to stop when the owner, who was partially blind, shot him in the butt.
Oh!
It turned out he actually knew Jeffrey. It doesn't sound like they're related, but Jeffrey told the cops the guy's like an uncle to him. The homeowner had been in the hospital, and Jeffrey knew that. So he was trying to break in and steal a bunch of important stuff like music equipment and guns and everything while he was gone. But he didn't know he'd gotten home the night before. The guy told 911 he fired one shot at a burglar, but didn't know if he hit him or not. He said the burglar was coming right for him when he fired, and again, he doesn't see too well. Cops followed a trail of blood down the street and found Jeffrey hiding in a shed. He is facing burglary charges, of course, and he is our feature That Ain't Right story, him. He knew this gentleman was blind, and even if he might not be home, wasn't 100% sure of that. I can't think of more cowardly things. I mean, stealing in general is pretty cowardly, but especially...
Taking advantage of somebody in that situation is awful.
Earlier, you and I were talking a lot about the pointlessness of lying, the pointlessness of some of these things. That I don't care if you believe in karma or not or anything. You put bad into the universe, bad comes back at you. That's just math. It's just the way that works. You've got a billion examples in human history, let alone in your own lives, to point to that.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another example. Here's another shining example for you right here.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that is a knucklehead right there.
Yeah,
that's not
okay.
No, and I'm glad
hopefully he gets prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
I feel pretty confident that he will be. I feel pretty confidently that this one is it's a pretty open and shut case.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that it does, you never know. So definitely never like to take these things for granted or anything like that. Certainly, but it does seem like one of those ones that should be okay. So I wanted to get to some good stories of the day. Need some palate cleansers today and throughout the day today. Can't encourage you enough to check out the goodnewsnetwork.org. That's all one word, goodnewsnetwork.org. I want to start with a quote. Not voting is not a protest. It's a surrender.
Yep.
That is from Keith Ellison. Mm-hmm. Not voting is not a protest. It is a surrender.
That is correct.
That's a darn good line right there.
Yep.
I wanted to get to this one yesterday, Melissa, or actually earlier. I just cannot wait. I haven't gotten to read the complete article, I will admit, but I've read the majority of it and will finish reading it tonight. Again, this comes from the goodnewsnetwork.org, where you can find it. And a shout out to Andy Corbelli. These are Macon County. There's a ton of Macon County kennels, the largest no-kill rescue shelter in the U.S., and newly opened in Alabama to help combat a pet overpopulation crisis in the southern eastern United States.
Oh, boy.
It was renovated from an old greyhound training center into a facility that has the capacity to save, rehabilitate, and adopt up to 5,000 dogs per year.
Oh, wow.
Located in Macon County. The intention of the founders were to serve a region encompassing 8 states, including Florida, to help dogs find new homes across America. Ironically, Big Dog Ranch Rescue hasn't always had this Big Dog Ranch. Since starting their work in 2008, they estimated they have saved over 53,000 dogs from being euthanized.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of dogs.
Currently, its 3 renovated buildings included space for 100 dogs and a veterinary center, but a further 13 kennels are still undergoing work. The 33-acre campus also includes work centers and several admirable programs, including one that unites veterans suffering from PTSD with abandoned service dogs, and a senior dog center that will pair pooches who have lost their elderly owners with other senior citizens looking for a new friend.
Aww. That's sweet.
And they're able to, well, wait a minute, that's in Alabama. How can that affect me? You reach out to these people, they can get you a dog. They will do that. They're servicing certainly those 8 states they reference there, but it's the whole country that is going to be able to use this. Same thing for, hey, say our shelter here in Wisconsin, in Wood County. They have a dog and they don't want to put it down. You know, they don't have the room for it. They can take them down there.
Been able to adopt it.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Well, that's wonderful.
I just think that that's such a cool story. That is so incredible. And again, just, you know, superheroes, man. Every one of those people.
Yeah.
I don't know, way to be. Well, these dogs didn't choose to be domesticated. These dogs didn't choose for any of this. They don't deserve that a bad outcome.
Well, and the stories about elderly people, you know, who have passed away and then the dog or animal, but in this case dogs, don't have anywhere to go. And vice versa.
Right.
Seniors who have lost their pet. That was devastating for my grandma. When her cat died, she was absolutely devastated. So to be able to have an option of reuniting those situations to another, you know, another animal or another senior, that's a really touching story.
It's pretty cool. That is a pretty cool thing, and it's another reminder of what we're capable of. You know, there's so many negative stories out there, so many things that show what the ugliness that we can, you know, show on each other. We need these kind of stories to remind us. Yeah, no, we're capable of great things.
We are.
Good stories of the day. Late last month, a jogger near Atlanta collapsed on a trail and didn't have a pulse, but other joggers found him and did CPR until a cop got there to take over. The police officer kept doing CPR for another 10 minutes until paramedics got there and took over. And seconds later, the guy woke up, asked what happened, and the cops posted about it on Facebook. And it sounds like he's doing okay now.
Wow. That's impressive. That's a long time to be having CPR done on you.
Yeah. Thankfully, he's okay. It's amazing. Like, maybe not that 10 minutes of CPR, mind you, but it's amazing how many of these stories happen all the time, and we don't hear any reporting about them. We don't hear about them, but they happen a lot.
Often we hear about the negatives, but we should be searching out those positives because there's a lot of them. People are wonderful to each other.
Speaking of heroes, have you seen the footage from Saturday? 4 firefighters in New York saved a woman while she was dangling from the 20th story window of a burning building.
Oh my goodness.
It's like your heart is in your throat the whole time watching it. They actually saved 2 women and had to rappel down on ropes to get them. A spokesman for the fire department said it's a rescue technique that's only used as a last resort. There was just no other way to get them. Shout out to all of our firefighters out there.
Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
A woman's Reddit post is going viral after a homeless guy in Chicago changed her flat tire. She says she gave him all the cash she had, about $60. He tried not to take it. That should be noted. It's not in this story, but I know the what they're talking about. At least the Chicago Tribune had some great reporting on it. And yeah, the guy didn't want to take the money because he didn't want to, like, he just was trying to help, you know?
No.
And that's
awesome.
And she wouldn't let him say no. And I think it's one of my favorite things in the world when two strangers are stuck in this stalemate of niceness, of kindness. Yeah. Like, we have so many, like, times it happens to us where it's the opposite we're in a stalemate of, you know. These are always funny to me. No, you be nice. No, you be nice. No, you take my niceness. No, you take my niceness. I'm trying to be nice to you.
I insist that you take my niceness.
A woman's Reddit post is going viral. Another woman's Reddit post is going viral from this, too. This isn't the first time this kind of thing has happened. So a lot of other people have been kind of coming out of the woodworks and sharing their stories of homeless people helping them with a certain task or something. There was a great one about an older lady who was struggling carrying her groceries. And a homeless person came from the other side of the street, crossed the street, helped her across, and then just sat right back down. The lady came back hours later and with a meal for him.
Aww.
With partially made from the food that he helped
food
her.
That he helped.
Yeah.
Aww, that's sweet.
So many of those kind of stories out there. A small town in England raised £500,000 to save its only pub called the Rising Sun. They spent a decade trying to stop developers from turning it into apartments. It just reopened on Saturday.
Nice.
It's pretty
Way
cool.
To go.
Yeah, it's a cool
story. Those are gathering places for the communities, and if you take that away, you take away the ability of the community to come together. So good on them for saving it.
I gotta say, I've always thought it'd be really cool to out in Europe, some of those old pubs. It'd be kind of cool to go into some of those, check those out. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
One more time going down south for one more good story of the day. Georgia State Parks introduce all-terrain wheelchairs for visitors to use for free.
Oh, cool.
They partnered with Amy Copeland Foundation to bring all-terrain wheelchairs to 10 parks in the state. I do believe they are free to use as well for people that need them.
Nice.
I encourage you to look a little more into that story. It's just fascinating. It also, for those of us that like working on cars or building things, the way they made these is pretty cool. Like, for me, I'll just speak for myself. I think that stuff's awesome. And just seeing how they built these, how they worked with other creators and other innovators and stuff to make these, you know, truly all-terrain wheelchairs.
That's really cool.
There's so much that needs to be done with balance and making sure that the person who is riding the wheelchair isn't feeling too much of the terrain, you know, and that kind of
thing.
It just was really cool
feeling
to see.
At risk of falling over or getting stuck. Yeah.
It was really cool.
That's neat.
One more time, want to remind you that we have you covered election-wise all day today right here at this station. We're going to be having coverage for you. And then, Melissa, you want to remind everybody about what you'll be doing a little later today?
Yes, so starting at the 7 o'clock hour, we will be having live coverage throughout the Civic Media stations with our crack team of hosts covering each hour. And I will be doing, we'll have cut-ins periodically throughout the hour for the Wisconsin Rapids area. It will be at the 46-minute after, so starting at 7:46. And then every hour after that, as races are being tabulated, we'll give you updates of what's happening here in your local races.
Appreciate what you're doing tonight, Melissa. Thank you so much for the work. And one more time, happy anniversary, Mel.
Thank you. 1 year with WFHR. I'm excited. It's been a great year.
If that ain't a good story of the day, I don't know what one is. We appreciate you so very much. You have a great day, and good
Thank
luck
you.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Let us know
Thank
if you need
you.
Anything.
Oh, I will. You have a great day too, James. Thank you for everything you do.
Everybody, be good out there. Be good to each other. Treat each other well. Get out there and vote and enjoy Democracy Day. And we'll have you covered right here at, well, you know what, Heather, why don't you say it?
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.